Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Before we get started with our main topic for the evening, let me just get some basic housekeeping out of the way. First and foremost, if you're interested in viewing or purchasing any of my books, please go to www.paranormaluniversalpress.com And on this website, you will see 8 book covers along with their descriptions, telling you a little bit about lots of the experiences I have had over the years with the paranormal. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I have had, I would say, just over 100 different types of paranormal experiences that do not necessarily replicate themselves. And so I have been spending the last few years, I can't say few years, but last few years intensely trying to understand my involvement with the paranormal, and then going back several years to revisit many of the situations I had in haunted bed and breakfasts, in homes, outside of the home, and anywhere you can imagine. First of all, I believe that there is not one space on this universe that hasn't had at some point some type of paranormal activity. The real question is, what exactly is it? And secondly, of course, why does it pop up during certain times and show itself, and other times just basically stay silent? Many of us in the field like to try to pick things apart, and we like to try to see things for what we are experiencing, but in the process, we have to come up with, of course, many different types of theories and ideas as to what could be prompting or affecting our situations. So, anyway, moving on here. Let's see. So that'll be it. Tonight's show is going to be dedicated to brief haunted report that I found interesting, a follow-up on an experience that I had within the last few months, and then we're going to get into the interview that I had with a very well-established restaurant that interviewed me about ghosts, probably about a month ago, I would say. We're within a month ago. But the nice thing about this interview is that you can go and actually watch it and see some of the pictures that I talked about and will be talking about again on this podcast tonight, as well as a video, which is a very good video to actually show you a manifestation of a ghost/thing that showed itself in someone's newly built apartment building. So we had to talk a little bit about that, but most importantly, we talked about the behavior of the cat. And I want, if you get a chance, and I'll give you that link as we go along here, I think it's important for you to watch that video, especially the last 20 minutes of the interview, because then I get to jump in and give my perspective on what I think is actually showing itself and happening in this situation. So anyway, stay tuned on that. Finally, before we get into our main segment this evening, I probably don't do this enough. I would like everyone to take a moment to think about something positive that has happened to them in the last day or two. One of the frustrations I think many of us have is that oftentimes we are surrounded by a lot of negativity, frustrations, things we have that are completely out of our control. And in the process, issues can escalate, make things worse, give way to those that do not ever want to see any positive moments in their life, or at least they're designing them to create what they think is a positive moment. And I just think that it's important that once in a while, we just silently sit for about 5 minutes, quietly think about all the good things that we have been fortunate to have experienced in our lives. And I think that in and of itself is a little bit on the healing side, and may not take away from the pain that many people feel on a daily basis. But on the other hand, I would like people to at least try to say, I'm thankful for, and fill in that blank at least 5 times a day or every other day, if possible. It may not solve issues and problems and whatever's going on around you. It may not make the boss that you didn't like better. It may not make your situation at hand better. But sometimes it's helpful to at least try to remember or bring to yourself as its own gift things that you're grateful for. So on that note, I'm going to take a short break, and then we're going to start out with the haunted report, and then we're going to have a very lengthy discussion called Talking Points, which is question and answer session, questions that I were asked during my interview with a very popular restaurant that did a segment on ghosts for the evening. And then I'm going to direct you to that video so you can hear some of this again and also start seeing some of the physical evidence that I showed on that program, as well as the gal who shot this video of this thing that manifested right before her cat's eyes. And most importantly, we're going to talk about the cat's behavior in that video.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. Well, let's see here. I was looking through a number of different situations, and I thought this one might be interesting for most of us here, so I selected it. This Haunted Report dates back to March 26th of 2019, a situation that came out of Wilmington, Massachusetts, at a place called the Market Basket Grocery Store. And what I found interesting about this was that people were meandering, doing their usual, you know, grocery shopping. And I believe it was during the daytime at some point. I'm not sure of the time of day because that wasn't really pointed out in that video. But I was watching this story unfold. And the story goes is that a worker who was at the time, I believe, in the bakery was just doing her own thing. And she looked up at the frozen food section, you know, where they have all the, not the open frozen foods, but where they have them encased behind the doors. And just for a brief moment, and she looked up and she saw an older woman standing by the glass doors, just looking right back at her with a very serious look on her face. Not necessarily extremely disgusted, but kind of that type of expression. And what did she say was there? It's just standing there by the frozen food section, just looking right at her. And she was dressed apparently as your typical old-fashioned clothing looked, long-haired, probably in a bun or pulled back, parted down the center of the, you know, on top of the head kind of situation. But she glanced, and like she said, she just saw this woman just staring at her. And then she glanced away, and then when she looked back up, of course, it was this person or this entity apparition was gone. Some of the things that went through my mind when I was watching this gal give her interview, of course, which I don't know if it played into any of this at all. First of all, let me remind you that there are residual ghosts, those that for some reason get imprinted or embedded in time, and they may appear during certain periods of time. Others, intelligent ghosts are those that are more, I'm not going to use the word aware, but more aware of their surroundings and are more apt to interact with somebody. And that even includes a physical being of a ghost, which we're going to talk a little bit about when I get into my main topic for tonight. But the other thing that kind of struck me, which I'm not sure, let's say this was an intelligent ghost, okay? Someone who was fully aware of where she was standing, her surroundings, or where it might have been. This place, of course, was a grocery store built on top of something from back in the day. We don't know. They would know what it was built on top of, but we didn't hear about this in the video. And one of the things that struck me was the hair color of the gal in the bakery. Now, we all have our own expression of ourselves that we present on a daily basis. I wouldn't say that this gal, she had green hair, okay? But my take on it is that, you know, I taught college for 20 years. And, you know, college student age, many of them will express themselves, including older individuals outside of college. But I just want to, this is the age group that she was in. It's very common to, in this day and age, for a young person to do whatever with their appearance. So if it was an intelligent ghost, keep in mind back then, other than maybe the color red, I don't think they had the ability, judging from how she described this woman, to go to that extreme length of, or even belief in coloring their hair any color at all other than whatever. They probably only had one or two opportunities even back in that day and age if they were gutsy enough to even do it. Otherwise, most of them just grew their hair out and it was long and sometimes, you know, a little unruly, but that's the way it was back then. So if it was an intelligent ghost, would the question be, was she looking at her in a disgusting manner because of her hair color, because of the color that was on this gal's hair, which was very green, okay? Or was it a residual ghost that just was, just back in the day, may have been in that situation in some other way, and there was an imprint of that energy into that space, and that's just, it just so happens that that's how the individual looked back then or whatnot. I mean, no one can really tell. She, after she spotted this apparition, and yes, it was a very busy market that day, but it always happens, it seems, when people are not paying attention, the right opportunity to, and of course, it always seems to happen to just one person, right? So then you have to ask the question about that. Of course, everyone's wondering if the gal in the bakery was on something, you know, drugged up or something. No, she appeared very level-headed and very coherent, and just so happens that she saw something. That was it, that nobody else had seen. I guess we'll never really know. But in my segment that I'm going to talk about tonight, I can honestly say that this is an occurrence that does happen. And so we'll get into that later on. But I just thought that this was kind of a good segue into that segment because, you know, this stuff like happens even around me. When things happen to me and my husband is nearby, other people will say, well, did you see it? Did you see that as well? I mean, someone else must have saw it. And oftentimes this is not how it works. You know, I've been in too many of those situations. My husband has reported to me situations he's been in that, of course, you know, I never had that experience, but I do know that they occur. But very interesting. Or was she, like I said, the gray-haired lady taking a stance on what are you doing to your hair and, you know, how repulsive or whatever? I think that certain hair colors on individuals actually looks quite nice. It just depends on how their hair is styled and how the color kind of mixes in with the overall look of what they're presenting. So not always, you know, and some we can all admit that, you know, even with our own regular natural hair colors, we're not always hitting a home run either. But I just thought that that was kind of a good situation. Let me see what else she wrote here. Just basically after that happened, she told many people about it, asked if anyone else had seen it. And no, but then she's been on the lookout. Now she's obsessed, okay, for wanting this woman to see if she'll reappear at that spot again in the future. I don't know. I can't say too much about that. Sometimes the apparitions appear and then they don't ever appear again. If you watch the video, or yeah, if you watch the video that I, from that interview that I had, number one, you'll be able to see me for the first time. No guarantees here. We're in COVID period still, which means that hair salons were shut down. All right. So, not to get off topic, but I cut my bangs lately and I'm not necessarily that happy with my work. And, so just know that you can actually see and meet me for the very first time. Secondly, I'm showing you some pictures in that video. Okay. And then thirdly, the video that was taped by this, the gal that actually works at that restaurant, in her own apartment that was newly built. That's very fascinating. So I hope you'll take the time. It's about an hour for our interview. It's going to run about an hour and, probably about an hour and 15 minutes or something like that. But if you just want to go directly to the video of the apparition that, or thing that, manifested in her apartment, that is probably the last half hour of it. So you can certainly go fast forward. Otherwise, you're going to have to be a little patient because then I start showing some pictures, especially when you have heard me talk about my relatives showing in the window. And for those of you who have not purchased my book and have no idea what I'm talking about, here's your opportunity to finally see the images of my relatives in that screen window. Anyway, that is the haunted report, and now I'm going to give you a quick follow-up of something I was looking up regarding the poltergeist moment that occurred in my house, and with the most drama before it left occurring in the pantry in my kitchen. It's just like a closet. You know, it's nothing huge or anything like that. Sometimes I notice in that closet, pantry, that the temperature is really cold, but I don't understand why. And sometimes when I'm in there, it feels no different than the kitchen itself. And so one of the things I looked up, which was just baffling to this day, is why did my oil bottle, plastic bottle, flatten itself or collapse in there. But I'm not talking just a minor collapse, which, by the way, I discovered a week ago again. I'm talking a full collapse. All right, so of course that all depends on the amount of air versus the amount of oil that's in the bottle, etc., etc. But anyway, here's what I found. Of course, the only explanation that I could find was that when the temperature on the outside versus the temperature and or the ingredients on the inside, aka, I think it's canola, if I some kind of vegetable oil, is different, but I mean extremely different, it said that the plastic will start to naturally collapse on itself. Okay, great. I accept that. I accept the fact that is the case, all right? However, I rediscovered this again with a fuller bottle, same thing, but fuller bottle, about a week and a half ago. And I said to my husband, here, take a look at this. This bottle is continuously collapsing. Why? And it was a brand new bottle, by the way. I said, let's hope we're not getting that poltergeist coming back here, because I've had enough trying to get rid of it the first time. That one was a battle. Okay. It took a while, but it left. My house has been really, really, I would say for the most part, fairly peaceful lately. And it feels, fine to me, but I just didn't want to see that as a sign that it was coming back or it was here again. Yeah, okay, now what's happening? Okay, why is it that every time I try to make a difference here, something has to tell me something differently? Usually when I'm doing my program, sometimes there's some really weird stuff that happens around me. And again, if I have PK and I'm causing this myself, I don't know how, but I'm pretty strong, I guess, in order to be able to cause things to change my environment or the things around me in a heartbeat. What was just happening with me a moment ago? It could have been the air conditioning coming on, which I hope is the case. But before, I used to have, this felt like a tornado that was underneath my feet, you know, swirling around, very odd. And things just happen all the time to me. And I don't ask for them. Sometimes I just say, just give me my space. So anyway, the only thing I can say about the oil bottle episode is that when something was very cold in there, and it at a certain temperature, but it became very cold, that's when these things start to be effective and start to collapse. But the question is was this because of the temperature outside or something not regulated well enough in the house? Or, as we all know, once in a while, when you get into a really cold spot, especially with an apparition, or they like to hang out in closets and bathrooms and you name it, let's just hope the visitor, if it came back, has decided to once again move on, because I don't have the energy or the strength right now for another battle. All right, that's the haunted report for this evening. Stay tuned as we get into our main episode on talking points and discussing that video of that interview that I had with that restaurant, and as well as the video of the apparition that manifested right on camera. Stay tuned.
I found it at last! Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy-metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron.
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going.
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Our main segment this evening is going to be on talking points regarding the paranormal. This will be the educational portion of the podcast. How I plan to design this segment that brings us to the end of this show is as such. Thank you to B52 Burgers and Brew for interviewing me a few weeks ago on their own show, asking me questions regarding the paranormal. This is going to be a recap of information that was shared on that show, but also what I think most of you will find very interesting is that you will have an opportunity to meet me for watching the video, if you will go to their link that I'll share in just a moment. And also you will see for the first time some of the images, not all, because I, you know, can only give so much to their show in a short period of time, but you will see some of the images that I have been talking about on my show for the last couple years. Please heighten your interest, and even though it may sound like a repeat of what I'm going to explain tonight, I think that you will find that your extra hour of time watching that show and seeing myself and some of the pictures and some of the stories that I've talked about in actual pictures on that show. The other thing that I'm going to talk about regarding that video, and it'll be toward the end of this segment, will be my analysis of that thing or apparition or whatever you want to call it that the young lady bartender who works at that restaurant photographed, videotaped while she was out of the room, and you will see right before your eyes this thing manifest and then leave the room once it noted a black-white tabby cat lying there staring right back at it. And so I'm going to have a little bit of discussion regarding that cat and why the entity potentially retreated, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So you're going to say, well, how do I get to see this video? All right. So what I would do, and I'll bring it up again at the end of this show here, this segment, is if you can find yourself a piece of paper and a pencil, relay to you how to go about getting your hands on that video so you can view it and be quite interested, I would say, once you're done. If you have a Facebook account, this is the only way that I know of right now that you're going to be able to see that video on Facebook. And in Facebook, you would put in the search bar, you know, capital B as in boy, hyphen 52, Burgers and Brew. That should be enough, but you might also have to put in Lakeville, Minnesota. And that will bring you, this restaurant has two different locations, one in Lakeville and one in Inver Grove Heights. You're interested, of course, on that Facebook page, anything that has to do with Lakeville. On the left-hand side, you're going to see a bullet list of different titles, and one of them is going to be videos. And so you're going to click on the videos, and you're going to scroll down. By the time some of you hear this show of mine, you know, they might have added a few more videos. So you're going to scroll down and you're going to come to a video that's called Ghost Peppers and Ghost Stories. And the time that that video will show will be 1 hour, 21 minutes, and 25 seconds, and then also 41 smiley faces, / likes, etc., etc. You might even have the liberty to read some of the comments that were coming to me on that show that evening. But of course, anything that I had time to respond to was directly relayed on that show. And that video, if you can be patient with it, the gentleman who interviewed me probably started out doing something silly like eating their ghost pepper sauced wings. And they're having just a moment of that. And then they get right into interviewing me probably 10, 15 minutes into the segment. And then I would say the video that the gal had taped probably shows up around just a half hour before it all ends. And then, of course, she talks about that. You see it. I try to point some things out in the video and then, of course, educate you a little bit more about cat behavior. All right. So anyway, once again, it's called Ghost Peppers and Ghost Stories, located on Facebook under the name of B-52. So it's B and the hyphen 52, Burgers and Brew, located out of Lakeville, Minnesota. And by the way, they were very grateful for that interview with me, and I thank them very much for trusting me enough with their audience. And they sent me a gift card, and I hope to use it once we get through this COVID period a little bit, provided that the place doesn't shut down. They seem to be a very popular place. So for those of you in Minnesota, in either the Lakeville or the Inver Grove Heights areas, I believe you will find their restaurants located in each of these cities. For those of you visiting the Twin Cities, and I hope that you do, and you want a good place to eat, I am going to wave my hand up in the air and say, take a chance on B-52 Burgers and Brew in Lakeville or Inver Grove Heights, Minnesota. All right. Before I get started on the titles that or the questions that I'm going to just briefly discuss tonight, I do want to give a shout out to the individual who has apparently been listening to my show and has looked at my books and also has gone to Amazon, was contacted by you today, and I am appreciative for your listenership. I want to make sure I'm very clear about that. The whole idea behind the email was that you had asked me to consider coming to a pitch fest regarding pitching my book to potentially be, or books to be on the Hollywood screen. What person in the paranormal field, especially those who have had absolutely traumatic experiences, all the way down to very mild experiences? Yeah, you're in the right place regarding that, but I don't know if that's the right place for me or whether or not there's enough sincerity regarding what I could contribute to Hollywood and the big screen regarding the many, many, many situations that I've encountered with the paranormal. So I just want to say thank you for reaching out and thinking about me. I do see that it's in Las Vegas, this session that you usually have a couple times a year with writers and those that might have interesting books to pitch to Hollywood. But the situation is if I go to Las Vegas, I'm going to be writing book number 9 and not necessarily in the frame of mind of wanting to pitch anything to anybody. Talking about and doing a podcast is probably something that I never, ever thought I would do in my entire life. I didn't even know what a podcast was about 3 years ago or something like that. And again, I have to give my heartfelt thanks to ParaX Radio and also to Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis from Darkness Radio, who actually discovered me and thought enough about what I had to contribute to be able to at least speak from my behalf to their audiences. And I know that reached an awful lot of people. I know when B52 Burgers and Brew contacted me, and that was at the recommendation of actually my niece, I know they're very grateful and very sincere about it for the time that I gave them. I would probably say that I was very well prepared, because I always am or try to be, for especially these types of interviews, but I wanted to give them the best that I possibly could regarding my knowledge and my experiences with the paranormal. And that's my contribution of myself to the world. And thank you to those of you who are listening. I do see a number of people from Los Angeles listening all the time, and quite a number of people. And I want to say thank you. You're an inspiration just to, and testament to the fact that, you know, from someone from Minnesota could even imagine someone from California listening to their podcast. I just, you know, and to those of you all over the world, ditto. Thank you. I try to bring you interesting stuff. I'm not always going to be interesting, but I try to bring you guests once in a while. I try to bring you topics you might be able to relate to. And I never thought in a million years I would be solicited for a pitch fest regarding my books or my experiences to pitch to Hollywood. I would love to believe that if I did this, that there would actually be Hollywood producers sitting there. But I have a legal background, and I'm an investigator. And you know what we do first? We investigate the situation first, and then we make a determination from that. So anyway, enough said about that. Let's get on with the show tonight, because I just want to say thank you, though, to the person who reached out. I'm flattered. Thank you so much. I will probably go to bed tonight wondering, you know, what if. But on the other hand, I don't think I have, I don't think that my experiences could be portrayed in a way that would, I don't know, would heighten the awareness of the world. Right now, I'm trying to figure myself out and why I'm having my own experiences. All right, everyone. Tonight, we're going to start out with the very simple question, what is a ghost? Why do some ghosts show to some and not to others? What factors may aid in helping ghosts materialize? Why do some spirits attach themselves to people? The do's and don'ts of ghost hunting. If we get into a chance to talk about haunted objects, we will. The show and tell, I will be bringing up the pictures that I showed on this video that I've been talking about for a number of times throughout my shows. And then we're going to talk about the cat's behavior in the video from the gal bartender who videotaped this thing. Very, very well done, by the way. This thing in her newly built apartment. Okay. Alrighty, here we go. What is a ghost? Now, most of you would say, well, I already know what a ghost is. Do you really? Because if you do, please write me. I think the one thing that happens here in the paranormal world, especially for those of us who chase after ghosts, is that we're trying to figure out exactly what we're chasing after. Okay, is it energy? Is it a demon? What is it? How do I know I'm not being tricked by something? There's all kinds of things about it. And this is what we're all running after. But one of the things that I can definitely say is that many people are having experiences. So, of course, the question to that would be, why? When I had my first experience, I probably had no clue that I was having an experience. Then all of a sudden, I had an awakening about this stuff. And then all of a sudden, I started chasing this stuff. And then I realized it went a little too far, and I haunted some of my own houses. And then I went to, and I'm sorry I have to bring you up, Zach Bagans Haunted Museum in Las Vegas. And of course, what happened there? I was attacked. Not violently, but enough to say that the experience that I went through there warranted some seriousness. And if you want to listen to that show, just scroll on down to the episodes and you can hear all about it. But basically, in a nutshell, you know, when we think about ghosts, we think about potential energy. We're thinking about a deceased animal or person, not necessarily able to prove what we're thinking about here. Some say, are you messing with demons? Some say, are you messing with angels? Some say, are you messing with this period? Okay. But again, we're trying to figure out in the paranormal field what exactly we are chasing after in hopes to try to help bring some resolve or at least some conclusions to all of this. I know from an animal ghost perspective, some people believe that animals do not have a soul. But I can also tell you that with the patterns of behavior and things that have been seen, aka deceased animals, including my own niece who saw their dog a day after, and she was 4 or 5 years old at the time, very innocent, you know, not even close to any of this ghost stuff. There is something to this energy. I know that I've also had reports of people seeing dogs, cats, horses, and believe it or not, guinea pigs. So I kind of mentioned that in that interview with B52, Burgers and Brew. So what makes up a ghost? I think energy. I'm not going to put my thumb on it, but that's the closest I can get right now to figuring out what makes up a ghost. And again, not everyone hangs around once they die, but for those that do pass away from either murder, suicide, accidents that happen suddenly, etc., or those that are just too stubborn to leave, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, some people really don't want to go. They can be here up to 2 to 3 months afterwards, okay? But again, some people have reported, of course, that, you know, spirits can be invisible, but you can tell that they're there. Some people of us, you know, that are sensitive, translucent, meaning you just barely see them to some degree, partial or full body apparition. I talk about this on that interview with B52, especially the occurrences at the Minnesota State Fair, and also black shadow figures. I have had experiences with all of these, and I wasn't on anything at the time except my own adrenaline, okay? All right, so why do some ghosts show to some and not to others? Well, basically, here are some of your reasons. People who have very open minds believing in ghosts have a tendency to actually at some point have an experience with a ghost. Higher brain frequency or vibration. People who are more sensitive, ghosts may find naysayers to be a challenge. And some ghosts target others they might feel can be easily manipulated to continue to serve out their own agendas they were removed from once they left life. So don't think in a million years that you don't have agenda ghosts out there. I will probably put together a show on vengeful ghosts, okay? Let me keep going because I want to give you information here and I don't want to run out of time. Factors aiding and helping ghosts materialize. Weather conditions, environmental conditions, location, situation of where something may have happened or occurred. Water is a great conductor. So we're talking streams, lakes, bathrooms, anything that can generate a form of energy through that means. Negative emotions and fear. That's another thing. Closed up environments such as closets, wardrobes, things, gadgets that are, let's see, what's the word I want to use here? That are charged by something that happens or somebody who touches something a lot that may have a negative energy or some type of energy that stays with a piece of furniture or an object or something like that. Provoking. We know that that's a big no-no here. Portals, whether you do a K2 meter or a Ouija board or whatever, be very, very careful about using devices to try to summons up something you don't know anything about. It can be just about any object if you put your mind to it that could be used as a portal. I do know that I had portals in a couple of my houses. One was in a closet, one was under my coffee table. One was in a location that I'm not sure of. And then, of course, my going out and doing ghost hunting and not closing up the situation or whatever, bringing some of them home with me. And so, of course, if there's an existing ghost in a property or a house, that's another thing you have to be careful of, because you won't know that anything starts happening until you either start moving in or start making changes to the house or whatever. So we even have an existing situation here. Who's most susceptible for spirits attaching themselves to them? Well, believe it or not, depressed individuals is basically number one on my list. Someone who may have a mental type of condition. Fear. Children, once in a while, can have them attached to them because of their innocence. Confused or lost spirits that don't know where they are might attach or hitch a ride on somebody. If somebody has an adverse habit and they used to, let's say they're an alcoholic and there's a ghost that used to drink a lot and passed away and wants to somehow continue to engage in that, they have a tendency to be attracted to those types of individuals. Spirits with an agenda, okay, and going towards people that might help to meet their agenda. When I first started having more experiences that were heightened, I kept asking myself, somebody's trying to communicate through me, somebody's trying to get my attention, somebody knows that I'm open, and somebody is trying to have me speak for them. And it happens on occasion. Lately, I need a rest from this stuff once in a while, so I just kind of block myself. But for the most part, anyone who is a sensitive, a psychic, or an empath or whatever, understand, and you do understand, that sometimes people are, deceased individuals are seeking their help and assistance to tell their stories. Those who dabble in the occult do a very dangerous thing, and that includes the youngsters all the way to thrill seekers. And then, of course, those who snub their noses at the paranormal, there are actually some that really take that as a challenge. But if you want to get rid of an attachment, I would highly suggest that you seek out a Reiki master or a shaman to attempt to remove what you might believe is something hanging all over you. The do's and don'ts of ghost hunting. First of all, of course, read up on the practices of that. Obtain permission, especially on properties and in abandoned buildings on personal property. Let someone know where you're going. These are the do's, okay? Don't know your cross and artifacts may not protect you. Always ghost hunt with more than one person, even though a crowd, a ghost does not always appreciate a crowd. But if you ghost hunt in pairs, you're more likely to have an experience. Bring your backup batteries, cameras, and supplies. Don't expect results right away. And if you do feel like you're being threatened or something is occurring, if you're asked to leave, especially if you use an EVP device, and they give any indication of hostility or asking you to leave, leave. Sage yourself before and after and ask that you close up this, that you're protected by white light, and essentially, in a nutshell, ask they do not come home with you. That's no guarantee. Don't trespass. Participate in large groups. Like I said, they don't always like that. Don't cause damage to property. Don't provoke. Don't assume ghosts won't hurt you. Believe me, I've done everything I can to keep those off of me. And I've been kind of lucky, but at the most part, understand that this can come at all levels. Don't assume they won't follow you home, and don't post anything online, especially on other people's property, without their permission. When we get to haunted objects, you will see in that video the haunted doll that I had to take matters into my own hands and get rid of. So if you want to see the picture of what I believe to be my relatives in the screen window, the haunted doll, and a situation where someone thought they saw something in the window, but it's called face matrixing, and I'm trying to explain that in the video. By all means, watch the video, okay? And again, I can't get into a lengthy thing on haunted objects. I do have an episode on that. But what becomes the most haunted? Well, of course, anything that, especially if you die or you're murdered or whatever, your clothes can be charged with your energy, okay? Dolls, because there's a lot of, you know, your energy is wrapped around these dolls, okay? So that's why some of them will retain that energy. Jewelry, antique bed frames, wooden cabinets and dressers, painting, self-portraits, mirrors with silver-lined resin, clothing, chairs, wooden, you know, dressers again. And then also know that when you go to an auction or a flea market or an estate sale or a garage sale, understand maybe if you can what you might be purchasing. You would use a clean, dry, or wet, light, not soaking, salt rub on your items if it doesn't ruin them, to try to reduce that and take away that energy or reduce it from that object. Haunted objects can elicit these types of circumstances, elicit shadow people, create nightmares and bad dreams, give a person bad luck, and make a person physically ill. Again, seek out a shaman or seek out someone like a Reiki master to attempt to get rid of whatever is either on the haunted object or the haunted object in itself. Don't just bury, burn, or throw the object into a lake, because once again, yes, can these objects retaliate? You betcha. You betcha. I've got a whole chapter of that from that haunted doll in my book, okay? So now let's talk about show and tell in our last few minutes here. I want you, when you go to the video, so once again, you're going to go on Facebook. You're going to put in the search bar, B as in boy, -52, B52, Burgers and Brew. And if you have to add Lakeville, Minnesota to it, do so. But I think the B52 Burgers and Brew is enough. And then that is an hour and 21 minute video. And towards the end, about 30 minutes, you will see the gal show her video, tell you a little bit about it. And then you're going to see me jump in. And essentially, in a nutshell, I'm going to be telling you to watch the cat, okay, and then watch the frame on the door. And he's going to show you that manifestation of that thing or whatever. And I'm not even sure that's 100% paranormal. But I do know one thing. What is that new apartment building on top of? Let's start with that, okay? Then let's move into how did that thing get into her apartment? Does she have a portal? And then let's look at that cat, okay? And so some of the things, I mean, I tried to ask her a few questions about what was going on there. We don't know if she ever used a K2 meter or a Ouija board in there, or someone else has a pentagram or something in any of the units. But we do know one thing. This thing did manifest. And it retreated once it saw this cat. Because one of the things about, especially if it's a negative ghost, they don't like cats, especially black cats, okay? And so cats can sense two things. They can sense scent and energy. And cats have 6 to 8 times as many light sensory rods in their eyes. So this was a dark room. The cat saw it. The cat looked at it. And the first thing you're going to say to me is, well, why didn't the cat react? The cat has no judgment on how pretty a thing is, okay, or ugly. And so in this particular case, if the cat felt that its territory was threatened, then, of course, it would have acted in some way. But it just had barely gotten started. But one of the things that they may mention that you might actually see is when this thing retreated and attempted to go away, you might actually see what appears to be an eyeball of this thing in what appears to be its head as it's turning and walking away. So believe it or not, cats are not necessarily a bad thing to have in your house, especially if they're territorial. They don't judge what they see, but they do judge if their territory is threatened. And again, this is a black cat, and entities, especially with, you know, bad vibes or whatever, they don't like to be around, and that's why you'll see this cat retreat. I called it a Dobby or some type of an alien thing. I don't know. It's a combination of something. But basically, in a nutshell, I think the experts who really watch this video will be able to know more than myself what it was. I do know for a fact, though, that it was definitely paranormal. Thank you very much for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. I hope that you will tune in again in the future to listen to more segments. And I hope to put together one on vengeful ghosts and retaliative ghosts, because I think that segment in and of itself will be a very, very interesting one. Thank you and good night.